This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, and thank you so much for joining me today. As you know, we make an effort every week to talk about a subject that is educational and interesting, and sometimes, hopefully, in this turbulent times, we want to call it uplifting, if that's possible. And in the studio talking to me today is Wendy Mednick, and Wendy is an uplifting person, I feel. She has 30 years' experience in sales, business development and project management work experience, and she recently wrote a story about what I'm calling holiday cheer during turbulent times. And when I read it, I thought, oh, that would be a good thing to talk about for a change. So here she is going to share some really great information with us. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning, Judge. Hi. How are you this morning?
Hey, could you tell us a little bit just about yourself before we give all these great tips to our listeners? How do you know all of this?
Well, it's a great question, and thank you for having me on this morning. I started about 6 months back. I approached a woman who owned a publication called After 50, locally owned and operated, and had some ideas about different things that affected, obviously with the name of the title, After 50, kind of the trials and tribulations that we faced as we approached an older age. And so I had given her some ideas, and she said, you know what, this would be great. I was always a big fan of an Irma Bombeck and Ann Landers and now showing my age. And she said, I would love to do a story with your ideas, but I want you to write it. And so, I was not a writer, although, I had done, my fair share of writing in undergraduate and graduate school, and spent the last 25 years in business development in the financial world. And so I took a shot at it, and she said, we'll see how it goes. And that turned into my sixth article, one I just submitted. I submit them each month, and it's lifestyles. And so what I try to do is take something that is troubling to people, whether they're over age 50 or even world events, and put a twist on it. And like what you said, is make something that maybe is turbulent today or something that is challenging for people of any age, and create an uplifting experience of being more motivational. We could all use it regardless of how this world is today. And so I started just doing different topics each month on kind of what was affecting. Obviously, the pandemic helped, and that was the only way it helped, was to kind of come up with ideas to do a twist on something that's just been really troubling for so many people in so many ways. And with the holidays coming, I knew that this would hit in November, right before Thanksgiving, and kind of put a twist and say, things that look kind of gloomy don't have to be if you twist it. And I've always taught my kids that. And so here we are, writing articles about something that isn't great right now, but we could twist it and, as you said, make it uplifting.
It's really funny because the other night I was over at my kid's house, and we were watching, the news and all, which is always tragic and terrible, in 60 Minutes, for which is usually, I call it depressing. And all of a sudden, my daughter says, wait, we have to switch. Guess what's on? Charlie Brown's Christmas, a Charlie Brown Christmas. And we're going to watch that. And it's so funny because you referred to that as something to where he's like typical. That's why everybody watches it. He's feeling blue during the holiday season and thinks there must be something wrong with him, why he's not happy and why is he depressed. But it turns out that, I don't know, everybody feels that way. I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And if you follow in, what was interesting is that the night I sat down to write that article, I was driving back from an appointment, and I was in the car for a while, and kind of mulling over what I would write about, and I had gotten a notification that the rights to Charlie Brown had been bought by another company, and that it wouldn't be on, I think it was ABC or whatever the broadcast station was each year, and that it wouldn't be on, and that you had to actually pay for the subscription of the company that bought it. And it automatically sent me back to something that I had shared with my kids that was something really fun, regardless of your ethnic religious affiliation. It was just something that was just, everybody knows Charlie Brown. And so I said, you know what, that's how I'm going to start. It's holiday cheer during turbulent times. That's what, you know, you look at every holiday that they did a Charlie Brown, and, you know, we all remember that he went trick-or-treating and he got a rock.
Right? Oh, that's
what did you get? I got a rock. You know, and that's the big thing. And so that was really big growing up, and my kids and I used to watch it all the time. And even with them being out of town for the last 6 to 8 years, I would always screenshot it when it came on and send it to them. And it was something that it was a feel-good moment. And so I said, you know what, this, you're kind of hearing about it, I need an article. And so, you know, it's exactly right. Like your daughter had said, it's Charlie Brown. Like, everybody reverts back to that, and there's a lesson in there. And I think that there's lessons and things that we learn and we see time after time that I think people don't stop and think about. And I think that the pandemic has shown people that, you know, we get back to that. We get back to, you know, I was walking my dog the other day, and there was a family in front of me. And I was just looking, and, you know, I kind of said, what a shot that would be for them, a picture that you have the mother, the father, the three kids, the stroller, and the dog walking. When have we done that? You know, or everybody sitting around a dinner table. And you just, as I said in the article, you have to get creative. It just can't be gloomy. You have to get creative. You have to, you know, how fun is it to, you know, do a Zoom meeting with people who have never done that before?
Yes.
You know? And people of age, that technology has changed. And, you know, you FaceTime my mother, and she's like really close to the camera. It's like, Mom, you don't have to be that close, you know. And so you can have fun with that. But like I said, my kids live out of town, and they live in Philadelphia, and oftentimes I would have dinner with my daughter through FaceTime or through a Zoom meeting with both the kids. It's fun, and you can have fun with it, and those are stories to tell. It doesn't have to be bad. You can really, you know, how will next year be when you look at this year, that hopefully a year from now we will have some healing with this turbulent 20 that we're all going to kick to the curb, and embrace 21 into a new year that we've learned so much from. And you know, wait till next year. This time, hopefully, like I said, we'll be healing, and people will be back to better health, and the country will be stronger, and this pandemic will have some answers. I mean, can you just imagine how people will be celebrating with such joy and jubilation next year? It would just be so joyful. People will be thankful for things they've never been thankful for.
You better be right. You better be right, or we're gonna come back and get you. We're gonna find you. Let's talk about some specific help that you refer to and that you can help people with. For example, well, you just mentioned the video. I'm sorry, you just mentioned having a Zoom meeting, and I was reading that, for example, your children created a video, and I have heard of other people doing that too, for a birthday or holiday or something like that, and sending it to the person or sharing it with the person.
Yeah, and that's a great remark, because I must say, as I stated in the article, I celebrated a milestone birthday. And so when I write these articles, I try to do it, you know, with my own experiences, because it's things that I've learned from. And so the videos, as I said, both my kids' children live out of town. And so it's a different year. And for all of those that we're experiencing milestone birthdays, you know, it was my 60th birthday. And so we had plans we had created earlier in the year that we would take some trip, and we would do this family, and we would get away, and we would just, you know, really just embrace a milestone birthday. And that didn't happen. And so, you know, obviously my children felt just horrible about it. For me, it was, listen, I woke up and celebrated the 60th birthday. I'd lost some friends in the last few years. I didn't get to do that. So I was just happy that I was able to enter into my 60s and have my health. I mean, that was gift enough. And so I didn't know that they did this, but they had sent out, my daughter had drafted a letter and sent it out to friends and relatives and siblings and my mother, and they made a video. And, you know, my son had put in my favorite music, and my daughter, they FaceTimed me and, you know, to wish me happy birthday. My daughter works for a hospital, and she was in, you know, full face mask because it was June, it was pandemic, and she was in full personal protection, and said, you know, we want to wish you a happy birthday. We wish we could be there. It's just a different year, but, you know, we have something for you. And this video started, and there were, you know, people that didn't want to do a video but sent letters, and so the letters came up, and, you know, my cousins from Europe, and, you know, my siblings, and my mom, and, you know, my daughter talking, and my son, and just, that was better than any trip. It was better than any trip, Judge, that I could have taken.
And you'll have it forever.
I'll have it forever.
Right.
Exactly. And it, right, and it's a testimonial of what the year brings to say that I didn't have to sit kind of loathing and, you know, self-pity, as Charlie Brown would say.
Right.
Instead, it the best birthday ever. It just, I couldn't even, I had to keep stopping and just couldn't get through, just the tears. And just endless, just so thankful for how creative they were to take that much time to make that day special. So they got creative. Yeah. And you know, and the millennials and are very creative technology-wise. So
yes, I've learned.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, that was something that, you know, I will be forever grateful for that. And as you said, it's a keepsake forever. It's never going away.
Now, we're talking about the holidays and the season of year, and this is a time when finances have become very important because we all want to be as generous as we can. We all think of, you know, all the presents under the tree or the Hanukkah gifts or the, you know, the different occasion, the biggest occasion of the year for children. And so now the economy is having so many people have lost their jobs, companies have downsized, and people have health issues. So what can you tell everyone about their finances, how to handle and still have a good holiday season, and how to handle this loss of income or difficulty with finances?
You know, and that is something that has been ongoing since the pandemic started in March, and so many people that have, with such a high unemployment rate. And again, you know, I think you have to be really creative. And it's something that we've been touched by all of it. At some point, we have felt the financial pinches a little bit. And so, as I had stated in the article, all the gifts do not create, you know, any more love or happiness. Yes, it's something tangible, but that gratitude that you get, it can be spread in so many ways. You know, I mean, we've got away from sending cards. We've got away from making cards. My son, to this day, he's in graduate school, still makes me cards. It's just something that I embrace much better than a card that could be sent through the mail. So I think that phone calls and, you know, I myself have set up meetings with all my friends. We all can't be together and celebrate like we used to. So I think that there's ways of looking at not having to spend money that's not in your wallet or in your pocketbook, and try to get a little bit creative. You know, instead of going out and you know, buying gifts. I mean, I have baked. You know, I love to bake. At one point in my late 20s and 30s, owned a restaurant and baked all the time and did homestyle cooking. And so now I bake and drop off, you know, tins of cookies. It's far greater. Is it less expensive? Absolutely. But do people appreciate it more than you baked? And then you get that empty tin back. And so I think that there's really ways that you can really give gifts and, you know, to whether it's loved ones or friends or, you know, even people on the streets. I mean, there's so many different ways you can give of yourself through your heart that it doesn't have to be through your pocketbook. It's a different year. Right. And I think what we need to realize is that we're not alone, and we're all in it together. And so there's just some things that people say, you know what, I guess I could really do without this year. And so people who, you know, used to get pedicures and manicures have now learned to do it themselves, or people who, you know, salons, unfortunately, in Erie County, you know, were closed again. But everybody is in it together. So it's a feeling that you're not alone. And I think that feeling of loneliness far outweighs the thoughts of saying we're not alone in this, we're all together in it. And so to answer your questions about the financing, I think people just need to know that there's different ways of giving. You know, a donation honoring a loved one, you know, whether they're with us or not, they don't know what that donation is. They just know that they're being honored, that you're donating to a charity. Every charity could use something this time of year.
Absolutely.
My son and I used to walk and donate to the City Mission. We would go down there, and I would have him walk the food in. It's an awareness that there's different ways of giving. And I will always say the best gifts are from the heart.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in today. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And talking to us today is Wendy Mednick, who has a BSMA from SUNY Buffalo, who has 30 years of experience in sales, business development, and project management work experience, and who writes this most inspiring column in After 50s. I was the cover girl once. Met for After 50s, but I'm not going to tell you when it was, Wendy, because I'm trying to every week avoid the subject of age on Target, but it keeps coming up. I don't know why. And speaking about sad and depressed, and actually, I myself had a birthday during a milestone birthday during COVID. It was in April, and I was just totally, totally dreading it in every way possible. And my family surprised me, like talk about originality, with a drive-by holiday birthday party where I don't know how she organized it, but online, of course, you know, because like you said, they're geniuses in technology. So,
exactly.
So many of my friends and colleagues drove by her house, to my surprise, honking their horn and with signs, and it was something I'll never forget. So there are ways, you know, that we can get around the pandemic and still, yeah. I wanted
absolutely.
To talk about, speaking of ways, you just mentioned the magic word, and after we go off the air, I'm going to give you my address and hint about baking, about eating, and about cookies. But that is my favorite gift, holiday cookies. However, what is happening during the pandemic is a lot of people are creating unhealthy eating habits, especially me. No, especially being stuck in the house. I always had them, but people are developing them now and now, especially with the holidays coming, what are we going to do besides eating holiday cookies? What are we going to do so we don't overindulge, because it's not healthy for people? It's really one of the, I think, I don't know, not symptoms, but one of the comorbidity problems that people have is obesity for COVID. So what should people do instead of eating? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, that's been a really something that's been insightful during this time that people have addressed. I know my friends have said, you know, I think the best thing to buy stock in is the manufacturers of yoga pants.
Yes.
Which, right. Because it's just, and you know, people say like, oh, you know, I haven't, you know, changed my clothes, or I haven't done this. And you know, food is comforting to people, especially in times of, you know.
Food is comforting. They call it comfort food, don't they? For a reason.
The exact definition of comfort food, exactly. And I think that you have to do is, I have a King Charles Cavalier who loves to be outside. And so for me, you know, I do belong to a gym, but that's just, I'm not really comfortable doing that. I've run on treadmills with masks.
And they just closed the gym.
And they closed the gyms again, right. So there's so many things that you can do for those with the percentage of the population that have dogs. I think we forget that dogs need to get out and need, you know, so I take my dog on a 2 to 3 mile walk every day. She loves it. I put in my earbuds, and to be honest, I return all my phone calls, call all my friends. It's a great way of catching up. You don't even know you're walking. It's really about just moving and limiting what you're eating and, you know, take a day and say, this is where I start. I'm going to start to get healthy and not jump into it, because we can't change habits that have been since March by snapping our fingers. So I think if we take and say, you know, the holidays are great, there's always a lot of food and we're stuck inside, but to get out and get some exercise. And it doesn't have to be, you know, the regiment of an hour at the gym every day. You can just start by, and you know, what's the best thing is to get that fresh air. And so you put on a hat and gloves and scarf and you get out, and it's good health. It's good health just for the exercise. It's good health for the fresh air. And for those that have animals, it's great for them. And guess what? Children need fresh air too. Take them and put them in a stroller, bundle them up the same way. So I think kind of developing a plan of, it doesn't have to be crazy exercise. You know, you need a half hour. Everybody has a half hour. We all can give ourselves a half hour to do something that. And the thing about walking and being outside is that it's easy and it's very low impact. And it's something that we really have 24 hours a day to do. We don't have to worry about the gyms being open or closed. But that's a big, you know, obesity in America today is a big issue. And the obesity and really the way we look at ourselves then leads to, you know, mental, you know, really emotional issues as well. So it's a trickle-down effect. And I think by nipping it, like you said, we've all experienced it. We're all in the same boat. Let's just do something about it. Because there will be healing after all this. And so I think if you just set a date and a time for yourself, like I said, I do a 45-minute walk every day with my dog. It's great for all of us. And it's easy to do. Everybody has at least a half hour. Nobody is that busy. And I think that just being aware during the holidays of just what you're putting into your mouth, we emotionally eat. That's what we do.
Yes, that's what they say. Yeah. Definitely, out of boredom or frustration, or you know, different reasons, different triggers that make you eat as all year round, not just the holidays.
Yeah. And it just tastes good.
And also, I just wanted to like kind of go back to your think to Charlie Brown, the season being something to dread, and there are certain people, even without COVID, kind of feel during the holiday season that they are supposed to be happy. Everything is supposed to be wonderful. In the old days, we're supposed to see friends and go to parties and celebrate, but sure. it makes people feel worse in many ways who have a loss during the year, who are alone, who are depressed for other reasons. And now, my gosh, everybody sort of is depressed in one way or another. So there are certain like tips that you have to try to get over this depression, such as I thought, like listening to music, having a positive mindset, that you had in your column, which I wanted you to share, like with our listeners.
Yeah, and that's something that's really important. I think you really have to do is, you know, gratitude predicts, you know, hope and happiness, and that we, you know, can spread the cheer, as I said, through a lot of different ways, through a phone call or an email or a card. But I think taking the focus off yourself has a lot of healing potential. When we stay away from self-absorption, you really do create a greater mental health benefit for yourself. And it really, as I said in the article, it creates a greater sense of meaning and purpose. And so I think that when you take those steps to not be really self-absorbed and self-centered in the loneliness, that stress and depression can really... you can really descend that during the holidays. And so you don't have to follow the quotes of Charlie Brown and let the season become something that you dread. I think that you just have to really, as I said in the article, look at the word you used was a trigger. There's holiday triggers, especially during a year that's changed so many people's lives in so many ways. And so I think if you know that there's hope and you stay focused, my kids know that. That's a big mantra of mine, is to just keep pushing and know that it's not a big word I use. It's not a forever. This is not a forever. We will get through this. You know, we're a really smart, strong country, and we will get through this. And, you know, the saying of, like, you know, misery loves company, it's knowing that you surround yourself. It doesn't have to be miserable. It has to be, you really have to be thankful for what you do have and not what you don't have. I think you have to keep pushing that. That self-loathing does nothing. And you also have to surround yourself with people that are very uplifting, and to be thankful that you do have people around you. Like you said, would you ever imagine in a million years that all those cars would have went by? And first and foremost, that somebody actually orchestrated that for you. How much love came out of that?
Yes.
And so I just think you have to really dig deep and find what you're thankful for, and to know that every year is not going to be like this. This is not our lives. This is something that we will get past, we will get through, and it's not a forever. And when things aren't a forever, you can do it. Anybody can do it when it's not a forever.
It may seem like it, but it isn't. Wendy,
it's true.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really, it was just great talking to you. And again, there's people can reach you somehow. And read your column. Do you have a way that you want me to tell our listeners how they could get in touch with you?
I do. They can always use my email address. That's the best form. It's WFM for Wendy Faith Mednick, 662 at Gmail. Sure, I love stories. Anybody that has ideas each month, my article coming out in December is, you actually hit it, it's on ageism. Ageism in America. And especially during the pandemic. So, I would love to hear people's ideas. I would love to interview people, for, you know, a book I'm working on raising children. And actually, the funny parts of people have stories about the things they didn't know. We don't know what it's like to raise children.
I could probably help you. I could, if the title was How Not To. Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Thanks so much. Again,
thank
we've been
you,
talking to Wendy.
Wendy
Mednigan. Stay safe, and I don't have to tell you to have a happy holiday season, right? Because you're one of the few people I feel knows how. But have a happy holiday season. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you again next week, and be safe.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.